Yes, indeed. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, my man Figgy Fig, and myself hanging out with you. Always get involved with the program. Texting in 713-572-4610. We have a 53-man roster for your Houston Texans. Cut down was yesterday, 3 p.m. And, of course, if you're listening to Sports Radio 610 all throughout the day, you got a full accounting of who will remain with this team, who will not, who is possibly going to make their way back on the practice squad. But now that we have a 53-man initial roster, and I realize I should use the word initial because these things move and shake in some ways. How are you feeling about it? And, John, I mean, let's start with where you know your biggest takeaways. I feel like, first of all, you were pretty impressed, right?
I was impressed. Damn, we're good. We are so good. I'm kidding, mostly. But here's the thing that's interesting about the roster to me. We talked about, will they keep seven wide receivers? That's something that I was on.
Well, you talked about that. Okay, go ahead and toot your horn.
No. Hold on. I'm going to toot y'all's horn, too. I'm going to toot y'all's horns, too. And sure enough, that was it. We also talked about the fullback position. Will they have a fullback? Well, the answer is no, kind of.
Right.
Because they did keep British Brooks, which we'll get to that, I'm sure, today, because that's quite a story. And then the whole question of two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks. These are all three things that we talked about just yesterday. Well, they kept two quarterbacks, not three. They have seven wide receivers. They don't have a fullback. And, oh, by the way, they got five running backs. And to me, that's one of the main things that kind of stood out. Is the running backs, and I'm curious on you guys, like what would really be the thing that stood out to you? The quarterbacks thing was not really a surprise after I thought about it some, and we talked about it yesterday. The seven wide receivers, I was on that island, and I think you guys understood where it was coming from with Steven Sims. Well, Steven Sims made the team. He's the seventh wide receiver. But I'm curious on the five running backs, what it really means to you guys, because I got a couple thoughts, but I'm curious.
Well, I mean, I think that this is where I definitely lean on the word initial, right? Like, I don't know that you carry all five running backs throughout the course of this season, right? Yeah. Obviously, Joe Mixon is the dude who is the mainstay. Cam Akers, he seemed to give himself give himself a chance to be that RB2 that I think we all believe him to be at this point. But there's a clear question mark, or there's a clear asterisk with that, where durability ends up being a little bit of a question. That is the question that was there, right? In addition to the idea of can he still do it, which he checked off, but can he do it for an extended period of time now? Ends up being the question. So I think the little bit of depth helps there. Also, we know Dare is going to be, he might not feature as much as a running back. And then the Damian Pierce thing, look, we're out of the woods of, is he going to make the team? And I think I personally, and I think a lot of us had gotten out of those woods a little bit a while ago. What does that role look like? And I think that role still leaves us in a place where, okay, how is he used, and is it possible that he can still find another way to another place to be, or that this team could find another place for him to be? Because I don't think that anything has changed when it comes to cut down, or after the cut down, when it comes to the way that he is running and the way that he's run for the last year and a half does not fit the system that you have, and that doesn't change on a dime. Maybe the old Damian Pierce is still in there and you find a way to get that to fit, but I don't know how that happens, especially when you get into the season when it's not like you are fixing things. You're game planning week to week for the next opponent. I'm interested to see what his role continues to be over the course of the season, and then what it looks like with this roster, or with this room in particular.
Yeah, I think that's why they decided to keep Damian Pierce, because they wondering if they could get the old Damian Pierce back. It's the reason why they kept Pierce and Akers. I thought they were going to choose one, but they got both, and I'm curious to see who is RB2. Like, we looked out on the field during preseason, and clearly Cam Akers is RB2 in our eyes, but I wonder if they still going to give Pierce that chance to be RB2, and if it don't work out right, you got Akers right there, and that was the issue they had last season, because Pierce was going into the season as RB1 and he wasn't really doing his thing, and you had Singletary there, and when Singletary was a little nicked up, then you had nobody else after Pierce. So now I feel like you have a couple options after Pierce. If Pierce don't work out, then you got Cam Akers, and then you got other running backs too.
Yeah, I guess learning from mistakes of the past, I guess.
Yeah, I'm with Reggie on this one. I think Damian Pierce needs to thank Christian Harris for not being healthy yet, and he needs to thank Kurt Heinisch, because I'm not sure if Christian Harris was healthy and good to go week one or Kurt Heinisch or any combination of that, that Pierce would be on this team. Because, Reggie, I think what this five running backs tells me, they know they're number one and number two. It's Joe Mixon and it's Cam Akers. And to me, Pierce is kind of like a man without a country, a man without a position. Because if you look at like their roles, as I see it, and you know this is just me, you could disagree.
Sure.
Mixon is the starter. Akers is the backup. Ogunbowale is the special teams ace, backup kicker, which I don't think can be underestimated too much.
No,
And he can spell in the backfield. You know, he can spell if he needs to. British Brooks, an incredible story. Dude was a walk-on at North Carolina, made the squad, and was a big-time player.
The definition of getting where you fit in.
Yes.
Right? Like, he is a dude who there was a role and there was a need.
Yeah.
At fullback, and he was like, I mean, that's a dude who has the capabilities to be more of a thumper than most of what you had, and he got in and took advantage of opportunity.
And he has a defined role. He's special teams and fullback.
Yeah.
You know, fullback when they need him to play fullback other than a tight end. So they all have defined roles. Pierce does not have a defined role.
Yeah.
To me, like the Pierce is like they're still trying to find out, and they've got, you know,
are they trying to find out though? He only had 8 carries, man.
And, well, yeah, and we've like been told.
Well, why is he on the squad though?
We've been told they've seen enough. They know what they have in hand.
I feel like they did a good job trying to find out what Metchie can do.
Yeah.
But Pierce only played two games.
Yeah.
So it's saying, like I said, they treating him like he RB1.
But why is he on the squad? Because like of all these other guys, if you agree with me that those are their defined roles, then Pierce doesn't have a defined role. So that means he's on the squad, maybe for special teams, because he does return some kickoffs.
Sure.
But you can't keep a roster spot just as a special team. I mean, they do some. Ogunbowale started out like that, and then he got, you know, he kind of expanded his skill set, so to speak. I think Pierce, they're waiting for that first 4 weeks, giving him 4 more weeks, maybe put him in there a little bit here and there, maybe find out on special teams. And then if it doesn't work out, here comes Christian Harris. You know, here comes Kurt Heinisch, and then he might be a short-timer is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, you give him a little bit more runway to maybe show you something. But again, that I hear what you're saying there, but that then still comes back and makes me think about the idea that what Figgy is talking about. You did not, like, it's not like you were working with runway in the preseason. You were not trying to get him reps and opportunities as they you know, referred to it as, to get him going. But, you know, okay, I feel like we have delved into the running back thing, and it is like a whirlpool that will draw us in. We kind of skipped past one of the wild things, which was like the injured reserve note, because we learned yesterday that Christian Harris will be on the injured reserve to start the season. That was a question that we were asking ourselves after, you know, there was an injury that just kind of nagged and sat around, and we were like, okay, is he going to be ready for the season? And the definitive answer is no. How do you feel about these linebackers now, now that you know that, you know, one of the two options that you felt really strong about at the top of the linebacker room is not going to be available for the first 4 games of the season?
Yeah, 6 linebackers is not enough. I mean, just flat out. On this squad, it's just not enough. So I would say during our show, you know, something could happen, or whenever the waiver wire, you know, gets wrapped up. That's another 3 p.m., I think. But either way, at some point today, we're going to maybe hear about a linebacker acquisition. Maybe there'll be another move. Obviously, it would have to be another move corresponding to that. But 6 linebackers isn't enough. I mean, you know the top 2, but you don't have Christian Harris. Jake Hansen, you know, kudos to him. He found a way on the roster. Neville Hewitt, we always give him his flowers because the guy just keeps playing. But that's not enough. 6 linebackers stood out low. And obviously, 5 running backs stood out to me high.
Not enough for the entirety of the season. I do wonder if it'll be enough for like 4 games,
maybe.
Right? Especially the first 4 games, right? We know that football can be a taxing sport that wears on you, and that's one of the positions that can be very physical, linebacker. But at least in the early parts of the season, you imagine the guys are still relatively fresh and they can make a little something shake for 4 weeks until you can get Christian Harris back in the fold, assuming that he is ready to go immediately. At the top end, I don't know that you could do anything about that with Christian Harris being injured. Now you just have to have the next man up mentality and hope that, you know, as you mentioned, Hanson or Toe are in those places to be able to be good. And then the likes of someone like Jalen Petrie, who is in that nickelback position that kind of is tight to the line a little bit, almost operates as an extra linebacker at times, especially in that nickel situation, if he is on his P's and Q's, as it feels like he has been in the preseason. Yeah. So, you know, you hope that all of those things come together in addition to, you know, the defensive line, especially the interior, Fatukasi, Edwards, that they are solid in what they do to help keep the linebackers clean, help them be at the top of their game, and then you just kind of you roll with that.
The other place that I think we need to kind of keep our ear to the ground, so to speak, is in the defensive backfield.
Absolutely.
Because they have 10 DBs on the final 53. Clearly, you know, obviously they have their nickelback they kept Miles Bryant rather than what's his name?
Who are you talking about? Des King?
Des King. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're good.
but so MJ Stewart and Miles Bryant stayed on the roster.
Yeah.
I think those are two players to watch. They might add a DB. They might make some moves there.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that is, and look, I don't know all what feels like a million players in the NFL before you get to the cut down. And as we know, like 1,000 players out there after, you know, different cuts or what have you. Trying to go through the dudes who were cut, like especially cornerbacks and those types of things, looks like a lot of names. There's some names that like are familiar to me, and that you go, okay, maybe that'd be interesting. But this is where the front office is going to earn their keep, right? You know, Nick Caserio has said that he has people in that staff that are, you know, they're pro scouts that are looking at all these teams and seeing, hey, are there players that can be helpful? You got to hope that they've got a name in mind to maybe help bolster this because look. Those dudes, they know the system and all these things. Jeff Okuda hasn't done hardly anything.
That's another one.
In training camp or whatever. Like, you have guys that you're not certain of if you throw out there. And Chris Boyd, like, he did do a lot of preseason. But again, I say this with all due respect. It felt like he was the mark out there. Like, teams had no question testing him and throwing the football at him consistently.
Yeah.
In worst case scenario, and even in just instances where you need to spell a guy like Stingley or Lassiter, I'm not in love, and I know that, you know, you can't be in love with every depth piece that you have, but I'm not in love with what you have when it comes to the cornerback situation. So, and maybe I'm just being unnecessarily bullheaded because, like, ultimately,
I don't think you are.
Who you're going to get in the waiver, are you going to feel great about that person because that person was cut as somewhere else as well? But just having more options, especially options that have a little bit more seasoning to them, would be something that would give me a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on all that thing. I do think, you know, what they did here that I loved is they found those extra roster spots that we kept talking about. You know, the two quarterbacks helped. The six linebackers actually helped. To find that extra, that seventh wide receiver or whatever it may be. I think Nick Caserio and his staff we're gonna get some news today, and you're actually gonna hear from Nick Caserio as well. But I think Case Keenum, I want to get to that a little later because I think there's a real story there that is actually good news for the Texans and good planning by D'Amico and Nick Caserio. But we'll get to that. But look, this roster here's the big sweeping. You know, we haven't even touched on this. We got a squad.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a good look outside of parsing and nitpicking some of these things that we've been talking about. This is a really good squad.
And we probably did bury the lead because we've been so, you know, we have blinders and we've been, you know, down on the molecular level of this roster. But you zoom out and you go, hey, man, this looks pretty good. Like, offensive line is something that you hope, you know, congeals and comes together. But you know that your pass catchers, you know that your starting running back are great options. You know, obviously the quarterback is something you feel confident in. Your defense, even with some injuries, you feel pretty confident about it at pretty much every level, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a great place to be to start the season. And you will be starting the season in what, about a week and a half when you go up to Indianapolis. I think that you're going out there with a roster that is formidable, and that any team in the league, but particularly the Colts, are going to have to look at and go, "Damn, how do we game plan for that?"
And the Colts' defensive line is really, really good,
and that's
the one you open with. And you mentioned the offensive line. I didn't know we would get here so soon. Like, this is a very solid, if not very good, offensive line, depending on how they back up what they did in the preseason in the regular season. They got 9 dudes, all experienced here. which is really important. They've been in the system. Kenyon Green, we've just kind of acknowledged and glossed over how good a story it is that he's become the starter, and they don't seem to have any worries about that. Obviously, also with Tytus Howard at right tackle. Seems healthy. Seems to be back to where he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you just want to make sure that they are creating those gaps when it comes to the run situation so that the run is as formidable as you know the passing game is.
Yeah.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, we're just getting going on this Wednesday. Coming up next, let's get the question of the day going because we got Spillane at 1040. Yesterday we tried to get to it, a lot of news going, didn't allow us to. What player were you just absolutely dead wrong about? 713-572-4610, we'll discuss it next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
That's right. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, sounding nice and clear, no echoes or anything.
What?
No, we wasn't recording that last segment in the bathroom.
John Lopez, Figgy Fig, I'm Reginald Atitula. Excited to hang out with you on this Wednesday in H-Time. Make sure you hold it down. With us here, we got you till 2 p.m. as we always do. Get involved with the program various different ways. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. You can also catch us on the Odyssey app, always there. And then Twitch.tv/610Houston and Sports Radio 610 on YouTube. All those things available. I see all of them, and we also saw all you people worried about us. Like, yo, what is happening? What's happening with this audio? Why are y'all in the restroom? No, we had
I take him in the bathroom. I don't care.
Yeah. Though that we do have that mentality. However, that was not what happened. We just had to make sure that we complied. You know, made sure that we were.
Oh, we can tell them
we were out of the studio because there was a fire alarm, a fire drill. You know what I mean? And so we had to make sure that we were not.
So we did it from the staircase
in harm's way. Exactly.
Yeah.
Look, we got to get you.
That's how much we care.
Absolutely.
We did our first segment from the staircase during a fire drill.
It's like the postal service. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rain, sleet,
neither rain
shine,
nor
all
sleet
that.
Nor whatever.
We
gloom of night, I think, is in there.
Something like that. We'll do all of that, except for on Labor Day. That might not be how that works.
Yeah.
Anyways, Sports Radio 610.
Might need to talk to Parker.
Yeah. Good luck with that, buddy. That email is dead and gone. Speaking of. I guess the word dead. What player were you dead wrong about? That's our question of the day. We got Adam Spillane, our Astros insider, joining us next segment. So, you know, moving question of the day up. But, yeah, what player were you dead wrong about? You can keep this in the football vein, especially as we had the cutdown yesterday.
Yeah.
In fact, the cutdown and all the news that started rolling in right about this time was what kind of kept us from getting into this. But the reason why I thought of this question was because in the cutdowns, Allen Robinson, wide receiver, was cut. I don't even remember who by whom again.
Who was he with now?
Do not remember because he's bounced around a lot. But I remember when Allen Robinson.
He was with the Bears at one point,
yeah,
right?
When he was with the Bears,
yeah.
I thought, yo, this dude is nice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I thought this guy is a really solid wide receiver, and he's gonna make it. And he's just bounced. He's bounced around, hasn't been able to stick. And he is one of many players during the course of time watching sports that I've been 100% wrong about.
No, I've got a list. I've got a long list. But specific to this right here, and this is where you just fall on the sword and say, boy, I was dumb, you were smart. I'm ugly, you're handsome. You know, all that stuff. My big kind of longer term one that I was wrong, and he got released yesterday, was Caleb Farley. When Caleb Farley was coming out in college, Virginia Tech, I was like, that dude, I'd seen him enough. I mean, I'm not a Virginia Tech fan. I wasn't watching every game, but I'd seen him enough. I'm like, that dude.
He was one of the, there was a few cornerbacks that were looked at as kind of those top looks, and Caleb Farley was one of those in that year. Was it like J.C. Horn was the other one in that time period, or am I mixing up
that
years?
Sounds right to me. I won't argue with you.
Yeah, man, those are the guys, and so you looked up and you go, it very much felt like a pick your poison, right? Whichever one that you like more as a top cornerback, and unfortunately, Caleb Farley was another one of those guys that fell victim to the roster cuts. I don't know. Have you kept up with Caleb Farley at all?
No. Other than he hadn't panned out.
Okay, cool. I was like, have you looked at him to the point where you're like, I'm still in, right? Like sometimes you could be the guy that rides, you know, goes down with the ship. And if that's the case, we have talked a lot about it. We just talked about it. The idea of hey, man, cornerback depth.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, what you're doing there. And I don't know. I don't think I think that ship might have sailed already. But you never know. Another one that played at the University of Texas, had a rough go here, mostly, I figured, because of Bill O'Brien.
Sure, that's an easy blame.
An easy blame. And then last year was all right. So I thought he kind of figured it out, Deontay Foreman. I thought Deontay Foreman had kind of figured it out and gotten finally made the most of his chance. I mean, he wasn't outstanding, but he latched on, and he got released yesterday as well.
Okay.
How about you?
I mentioned Allen Robinson. One of the ones, and this is actually, well, I can go with the football one, because I know that we got folks getting ready or that have drafted their fantasy teams recently. Shout out to the 713 who said, good morning, gentlemen, tuning in as I do practice fantasy football draft on the ESPN app. That's our guy, Ocho. I thought Bishop Sankey was going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Bishop Sankey, who in this division, right? I was like, yo, this dude is nice. Like, I thought he ran the ball well. He had good shifty. He was a pretty shifty running back. I thought he had, but was still pretty solid. Like, I thought all of those things came together where Bishop Sankey was going to be somebody to be contended with. And nope. Just kind of an RB2 for a little bit. And then he moved along, which I feel like, again, you can pull up many, many a running back, because it feels like the way that the running back is valued just in general, unless you are one of the standouts at the top of this, it's easy that you can end up in a place like Bishop Sankey or one of the various other running backs that you go, man, this guy's going to be helpful, and then ultimately, he's just another running back.
What about all time? Figgy, in other sports, Figgy, you were mentioning, was it off air yesterday about Kevin Porter Jr.?
That was B-Scott. B-Scott mentioned that.
B-Scott.
I know basketball-wise, I thought Derek White is it Derek White? No, why do I keep saying Derek White? Now I have to go back and remember my man's name from Arizona. He was a power forward, and he was drafted. Man, maybe.
I know. It might be
Derek. Was it Derek Hill? I'm trying to remember my guy's name. Derek Williams. There it is. I knew Derek it was a W. Williams. Derek Williams.
Yeah.
Because I think he was the number two overall pick, and I was like, yo, y'all should have taken him number one. This power forward is a problem. I remember seeing him at Arizona. He had an okay career and was like, he was just a rotation player. Like, he wasn't anything particularly special, but I thought he was going to be a problem. Like, I thought he was going to be one of the better power forwards in the league, and no, he did not turn to be that.
How far back do you want to go? I've got a couple that just popped into mind, Texans related. I was one of those suckers, one of those dummies. Hey, they drafted an 18-year-old defensive tackle. He's got to be great eventually.
100%.
What was the name? Amobi Okoye?
Okoye,
Boy, he was awful.
My Nigerian brother.
Boy, he was awful. And then more recently, Will Fuller. Had his moments.
Yeah, yeah. Will Fuller was just the dude who, it was the injury thing, right? Like, he just couldn't stay.
Yeah. But he fell off the face of the earth. Like, remember we were like kept waiting for someone to sign him?
But it seemed like here, though, he had his moments, but injuries were always getting away. I think the last thing was the PEDs, and that's when it was just like, it's over.
Yeah.
But I would say here, Braxton Miller was the one I thought they had something in Braxton Miller, man. Because I watched him at Ohio State go from quarterback to wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that they might got something to him. That dude, they ain't have nothing in him, man.
And a lot of people are mentioning J.J. Watt.
Is the reverse dead wrong?
Yeah, the reverse. He was booed by some people. Even J.J. Watt's made it bigger than it was. Because I was there when they drafted him in 2011, and there was a few. And that was one of my on-air flubs. I didn't say he was going to be a bust or anything, but I said he's going to be really good against the run. I'm not so sure about the sacks. he had a few sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a few. Because I saw him at Wisconsin. He was just a beast, just shutting everything down, tackles for losses. And he had a few sacks. But I was like, well, we'll see about the sacks. Yeah, we did. We did see about the sacks.
For many of them, year over year over year, for a good long time. Shout out to Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Some other ones coming in on the text line. Someone said, hey, OG from the 830. I got to get my eyes together.
Yeah.
Hey, OG, remember Harold Miner, baby Jordan? Were you in on the Harold Miner?
I wasn't in on Harold Miner. I thought he'd be good, but he was kind of slight, if you remember. He wasn't thick enough. He wasn't strong enough, but he won the slam dunk contest one year, and so that's where he got the baby Jordan stuff. I wasn't quite in on Harold Miner.
Okay, some other ones coming in. also A3O also said that they thought Ben Tate would have a great career.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, I think everybody got a running back in there for sure. His running back just feels like it is right for that. 832, wrong about Greg Oden.
That was injuries.
Yeah, that was another. But, I mean, yeah, what can you do? And then also, I feel like that was the shift of a paradigm as well. I know injuries was the major part of it.
Yeah.
But in those veins, and this is not quite the same thing as being dead wrong, but Roy Hibbert, it felt like he was ascending to the top.
Man, that's a name I haven't heard.
Ascending to the top of the NBA, like, as a dominant center. Mm-hmm. And the dynamics of the NBA shifted on a dime, and all of a sudden he went from being a dominant defensive center to just being a dude that could not be played.
Just the body, yep.
And I was like, yo, that's got to be real, real tough for him. That's the basketball-wise. Another person from the 832 said that they were very wrong about Yao Ming. I'm interested in what you were thinking about with Yao Ming.
I was very high on Yao Ming. And then if you recall, his very first game, I got sent to go cover it. It was in Indianapolis, Indiana Pacers. I want to say he had 2 points and one rebound in like 27 minutes. He was lost in his first game.
Sure.
Absolutely. And so that's when
But it was a preseason game, right?
No.
His
first regular season game. Damn. And I was like, wow, I thought he'd be a lot better. Well, he was. I mean, it was jitters. Like, it was for a classic case of, like, this dude had the world, literally, the planet was watching him, you know? And he had the pressure of, what is it, 4 billion people in China,
watching
him and all that. And he was
honestly playing with some NBA players.
But I was a huge fan of Yao Ming.
Yeah.
Like, he was a class dude. I thought he was actually ended up being underrated as a player. But I thought it would be good. And after the first game, I was like, huh?
Yeah, that reminds me, actually. I was just recently seeing an interview that Sam Cassell did on Draymond Green's podcast,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about Hakeem.
Yeah,
back when Sam Cassell's rookie season, then during preseason they went 0-8, and it just felt like, you know, with training camp, because back then I guess training camp was long as hell, and dudes were using training camp to get themselves in shape.
Yeah,
he was like, Hakeem came in out of shape, they were losing games, and he was just like, what is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking around, like asking Kenny Smith, and they were like, yo, season, like, it don't matter yet.
No.
They got to the regular season, and then they started off that season gangbusters, like 20-0 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Hakeem turned it on, and I was like, okay. Sometimes also just the start of the season is not a good indicator of what's coming.
Dream was one of my favorite people to talk to because he wasn't like a basketball savant. He was just awesome at what he did. Like, if you ever asked him after a game, hey, what were you guys thinking in terms of defending blah, blah, blah? Or if you got, like, into technical stuff, he'd look at you with just this blank look like, I don't know. I just block shots and score. I mean, he wasn't dumb. I mean, he just, like, he knew what he did, and he did it at the extreme level. But he wasn't, like, knowing what everybody does and the strategies and all that. It was none of that.
Some other folks were talking about Arian Foster, Jose Lima came up. Wrong about Johnny Football I in the NFL, because I felt like that was pretty obvious that was coming.
Yeah, that was going to happen at some point or another.
I might have been drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit.
You were in the splash zone. Here in Houston, you were absolutely in the splash zone with what was happening at A&M. All right, Fig, this is new territory for me here on In the Loop. We got someone calling in?
Yeah, we got somebody calling in. We got Rick Kessler.
All right, Rick, what's happening?
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? I was hearing y'all talk about Yao Ming just a minute ago, and I wanted to comment on that. I was not a big fan of him myself. I can remember Bill and Calvin, like, getting livid and yelling for him to dunk the ball. He would be under the basketball, under the goal, and just, like, scared. And they're like, dunk the ball. And
mm-hmm.
I could just remember they were just frustrated about it. You know, his play in his first year, and I really think he was just severely overrated. The most overrated NBA player ever.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I mean, are you talking about early?
But you know what? I hear a lot of people say that, though.
Yes.
Because I guess maybe the expectations were so high.
Yeah. There was a lot of hype. Don't get me wrong. Definitely a lot
of
hype.
And he was playing against Shaq.
Yeah, but nah, he held his own, and he was a very good player.
I will defend Yao Ming the rest of my life. He was awesome. He was a great
guy,
great player. Okay. He was a great guy, but he was a great, great player. I remember taking a call back in the day when he was here, and it was kind of along those same lines. Man, if I was 7'6", I'd average 70 points a game. See, it was just like because he was such an imposing figure and he had such a great skill set and could move the way he did, as big as he was, like you're everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I'm entitled to say that's just flat wrong.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. How that guy feels is how I feel about Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. But Zydrunas Ilgauskas, nobody's talking about him like he's an incredible player. He was so
irritating because he was 7'3".
Yeah.
And this dude would do fadeaways. Like, look, he would lay the ball up. Like, bro, if you don't dunk the doggone ball,
big
man.
Big self. If I had all 6'11",
he'd be sitting there just tapping the ball. He's like, what is you doing, man? That was so frustrating. And then he would get like mollywopped by somebody like Shaq.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just like this 7'3" white dude ain't doing nothing, man.
I love all the Rockets that are now coming in. Luther Head, I loved Luther Head, I'm gonna be completely honest. Trevor Ariza, the first time around when we thought he could become the star player on a team, that was fun.
What about Kevin Martin?
Kmart, I thought it was evident, at least to me, that was like a stopgap type situation. Jeremy Lin comes up. Somebody said, what about Ralph Sampson? What about him?
See, Ralph Sampson is also along the same lines of Yao. If it wasn't for the foot injury, we would still be talking about like just how awesome it was. Ralph Sampson was fantastic and then got hurt way too soon. Yao was a tremendous player. Yeah. I don't even want to hear that. Like, ask his teammates about Yao.
Yeah, maybe you can say he the 8-time All-Star in all the seasons that he was like available to do it. Maybe you could say, all right, that's the the fan vote. 5-time All NBA.
Exactly.
Like the guys that you don't get to that place without being able to hoop in a good way. All right, keep those coming in. Why not? 713-572-4610. Someone said wrong about Quentin Johnston. I think we had seen the drops in there at TCU. All due respect to that man. Coming up next, let's talk to our Astros insider, Adam Spillane, about what happened as the Astros got shut out last night. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Who they want. Who they want? Baseball spo.
Still tough. Still hard. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
It John reflects Lopez. The guy. It reflects
no,
the
it
guy.
Does not.
Yeah. John Lopez, Figgy Fig.
We got
to shoot
a music video for it now.
Yeah, we absolutely do.
Oh, my God.
All that music video is going to be
tough.
That's
an idea.
And you can kind of get like the preliminaries of the music video if you check us out on Twitch or YouTube.
At Baseball Spo with money in his hand.
Exactly. Because Baseball Spo, Adam Spillane, our Astros insider, in studio with us here. Hey, Spo, what's happening, man?
Good to see you. Good to meet you in person finally.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, we've got plenty of times to do this, I'm sure, especially because it looks like the Astros they're continuing to push towards a place where they're going to be in the postseason. I guess let's start there. How confident do you feel that the Astros are going to be in the postseason? Because it's going to have to go through winning the AL West, but during this tough stretch, they're losing a little bit of ground on the Mariners as of right now.
Yeah, they got bailed out a little bit by the Mariners kind of blowing that game last night, late night, against Tampa Bay. The last 30 games are going to be a grind because this schedule is as tough as it gets. And I know you look at some of the win percentage stuff, it doesn't really do it justice just because you look and, all right, you've got one game left with the Phillies. Then you've got four games with Kansas City, and the Royals are playing about as well as anyone right now.
Didn't they just overtake the Central?
Yeah, I think they're now tied for first place in the American League Central at this point. So that's a really tough four games. There's no off day either.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get three with Cincinnati, and that's a little bit of a break. Like, the Reds, no one will donate games quite like the Cincinnati Reds will. But then after that, I mean, you're talking
a resurgent Diamondbacks
three with Arizona, and that's the best offensive club in all of baseball right now. San Diego's been playing great.
Yeah.
The good news for them is that they have seven games with the Angels, and the Angels seem to have completely checked in at this point, and they seem to be just done at this point. But then even like the three-game series with the A's are playing pretty well. Like since the All-Star break, the A's have been the second best team in the American League West,
huh.
And they won again last night. So, I mean, they've been frisky here the last couple of months. But then you close out the season with Seattle and then Cleveland. You hope that Cleveland has everything sewn up so maybe they can just chill that weekend. But, yeah, it's a really tough schedule. And that's why you say I think the Astros are better than Seattle. But the fact that the schedule is what it is over these last 30 games, I think that's what gives the Mariners a chance.
Okay. So, with that being the case, like the remainder of this of the 18 game and 18 day stretch is vital. But I mean, look, this also was serving as a test of sorts because you mentioned the strength and in this, you mean, you got the Orioles, you're dealing with the Phillies right now. What the hell happened last night? Because I don't think that you haven't had very many games that look like that in the course of these tests that you've had recently.
Yeah, I mean, they just ran. It's a bad offensive club right now, and they ran into an elite starting pitcher, and he pitched great last night. Aaron Nola was outstanding in that game. And that's what makes games like Monday so tough and games like Friday and Saturday so tough in Baltimore, because you're going to run into the Aaron Nolas every now and then. And so when you have chances to win these other games, you have to take advantage. And so that's kind of where some of the mistakes, they really come back to hurt you. But it's just more of Aaron Nola was great last night. I think that's all it is. And right now, offensively, they're struggling. Jose Altuve has been basically barely above average now for the last couple of months. Yordan Alvarez has had a good year, but not the year that I think you're hoping for Yordan Alvarez to carry you, especially when you're shorthanded the way that they are, and he really hasn't been able to do that. And then just like that bottom half of the order is just not very good.
All right, so we're up, we're down, we're in, we're out with this squad. I mean, it's just bizarre. And Reggie and I might talk about this a little more later, but I want to ask you, is water finding its level here? They're clearly not the team that was as bad as the early season. They went on an amazing run that you and I were talking about very recently in this studio, where we're like, wow, you know, now they're the Astros that we know. I kept talking about like that gene that they have. Are they somewhere in between that?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not the team that was playing at like a 100 win stretch there for a while. I sent a message to somebody during one of the Red Sox games last week. It was like, how the bleep is this team whatever and whatever since June 9th or whatever the date was? Just because that's when they lost Kyle Tucker, they lost Justin Verlander, and yet they seem to start just like stacking win upon win upon win. And I just don't know how that really happened. It's been a testament to the pitching staff. I mean, they have really pitched it well all season, especially when you consider how many rookies and, you know, unproven guys that they've had to rely on over the course of this season. The bullpen has been really good, aside from that little hiccup over the weekend in Baltimore. But yeah, it is hard to believe that with the roster the way that it is, with the stars not necessarily playing like stars, that they have been able to maintain this type of a level this season.
So, what does it mean postseason? Because I'm looking, one of the things that I was talking about yesterday is, like, they're really good. They're probably going to make the postseason. But these games against these good teams are kind of showing that they're not quite there. You know what I mean? Like, they can get to the postseason, but the Phillies won, and Orioles, for that matter, won some very close games that you're going to have in the postseason, you know?
Yeah, but they also outplayed Baltimore during that four-game series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've been outplayed here. I guess they were right with the Phillies on Monday, and they got outplayed yesterday, and that's going to happen. I think you're just worried about getting in at this point.
Yeah.
Like that's all that matters right now, is getting into the playoffs, because playoff baseball is so different from regular season baseball, and then you just try and piece things together from there. So I think right now the focus is, let's just get there, and then we'll worry about how we stack up against everybody else, because who knows? Maybe guys from other teams get hurt. Maybe you start to get healthy. Maybe you have certain guys that get hot. You
know, Kyle Tucker, maybe.
Kyle Tucker probably coming back at some point. Just the fact that he's sprinting is obviously a good sign for that. So they'll get Ryan Pesce back here, maybe even as soon as tomorrow. So there's things that are looking up for them. But right now, I don't think that they are worried about how they stack up in the playoffs. Right now, it's just like, we got to figure out a way to get there. Right now, listen, I think they're probably like 80-something percent to win the AL West at this point. I don't think that the chances of that are that high. I think it's probably closer to 60-40. But they're still in a better position than they were, say, 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, they add, the Astros do, Jason Hayward, five-time Gold Glover, outfielder. The slash line isn't fantastic, but as I mentioned, he's played at a high level before in his career. What do you see as like the impetus? What's the reason why you add Jason Hayward? Does this have anything to do with Kyle Tucker or anything of that nature?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with Tucker. I think they just want to make the roster better 1 through 26. It's the same reason that they added Hector Neris last week. Like, we're just trying to make the pitching staff as good as we can 1 through 13. They are trying to make the bench as good as it can be. They're trying to make, you know, everything. They're trying to make that roster as strong as it can be 1 through 26, because that's been an area where, frankly, they've fallen short. The fact that they wasted a roster spot on Gray Kessinger and Jacob Amaya and Aledmys Diaz for as long as they did this season. You have a manager that wants to utilize his bench, and yet he has not had a bench that you have given him that he can do that. So I think that was the point of Hayward, is just, can we make the bench better? He's whoever gets sent down, whether it's McCormick, whether it's DeCinzo, or whomever gets sent down, whenever he does sign, Hayward will be better than that player, and that's all that matters.
Last thing from me, Verlander obviously had the big inning he gave up yesterday. I think he went 5 in his first outing. This is pretty much what we have to expect from him, which is going to put a little bit more on the bullpen, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, you know, I think I said this to you guys last week. I don't think that he's like a 6 or 7 inning guy anymore. I think, and part of it is just that, you know, he's basically, it's a spring training for him, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that he missed as much time as he did. So I think eventually he'll be able to get that pitch count up into the high 90s, maybe even to 100. Mm-hmm. Could be as early as the next start. But I do think that he's been fine. You know, I don't think that he's been like Cy Young caliber or anything like that, which I don't think that you can ever expect from him again. But he's going to go out. He's going to be professional. He's going to get you outs. I don't think they thought he'd be able to get through 5 in that first start against the Red Sox. He did. I don't think they thought he'd be able to get through 5 against the Phillies last night. He still was able to after even that long inning. So I think that he's fine, and I think that he's pitched well, and I think that you can see that there are areas for him to get better, but I think that the fact that he has had the success that he has had so far through these first two starts shows you that there is room for improvement, and that I think is a really encouraging sign for him moving forward for this last month.
Spo, we were just talking about the idea of the player that we were most wrong about, that we were just dead wrong about. Is there one that comes to mind for you where you're like, oh, I thought this dude was going to be great, or thought this dude was going to be terrible, and they ended up showing you?
On this team right now?
I mean, you can take it there or you can take it all time.
I remember I saw Corey Seager play for the first time in 2012 in rookie ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing for the Ogden Raptors, and the Dodgers always, they never missed on their high picks. It was unbelievable how they never did. He was a first round pick who was hitting like 140 something when he came to play us in Grand Junction. And I'm like, oh, this guy's a bust. This guy is. Finally, the Dodgers did it. The Dodgers finally drafted a bust, because God knows the Rockies had drafted plenty of busts up until that point that I had seen. And then, of course, Corey Seager becomes one of the best players in the entire sport.
He's all right.
Yeah, so I was wrong about that one.
He showed you.
I was hoping. I think I was just hoping that the Dodgers would actually draft a bust, and they never do.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, appreciate you. Adam Spillane, our Astros insider. Era. You can catch him every Wednesday, 10:40 right here. Sports Radio 610. We appreciate you, my man.
Anytime.
There you go. Coming up next, we go around the NFL, where it looks like private equity coming to the NFL. That's going to be a big thing. And just want to remind you, our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can have tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.